One More Game with Alec James.
Come on, man, just one more game.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to the One More Game podcast. I am your host, Alec James, accompanied by my amazing co-host. Well, you are a co-host now, Kirk. So you accept the job, and you're doing a great job at it, and I just appreciate you being here. Welcome. Thanks for being on tonight, my man. Chris is currently busy working, as a working man does, and can't say I blame him, but, you know, I will give him a hard time for not being here. Chris?
Be better. No, I'm kidding. Do better. Be over here next time.
Wake up earlier next time.
Yeah, bud. Then you get the sweet privilege of being on this podcast. Now it's all good. It's all good, dog. But yeah, tonight we're doing just a chiller episode. Me and Kirk, we're going to sit back and just relax and honestly catch up a little bit on current gaming news and some questions that were left on our X page and or statements kind of left on our X page. And from fans, you know, from our one fan, really, the one person who's actually, you know, interacting on our X page. But still, we don't mind. We don't mind. So if you guys want your questions answered and you want to, you know, your topics talked about on podcast, please go ahead and check out our X page. Give us a follow and we will do our best to get those on podcast. We do see them. So we appreciate you guys where you interact with us. So. Yeah, we're just going to do a little bit of that tonight and just catch up a little bit on some more game movies coming out too. We have some current gaming news, actually some pretty decent stuff about the Zelda movie too. Some, you know, relatively newer news. So yeah, we got some stuff to talk about tonight. But with that being said, Kirk, I think we should start with some of the questions that we had from our listeners over on our X page. Do you have one for us over there?
Yeah, we don't got much, but we did have this one that I promised would be brought up. It's about the Among Us movie, which I didn't know was getting made at all. But the Ghost Star said, hey, he wanted to get our opinion on the casting for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He said it seems pretty good, but he's not sure if the movie will be good. So I looked at the casting, and I mean, honestly, I like all of these people. I just don't know anything about Among Us, as I've never played it. I mean, I've seen like other people play it, you know, like a little bit here and there, but I don't know enough about it. So Alec, have you played Among Us? And if you have, could you break it down a little bit for me?
So I barely have played Among Us, but what it is basically like, one person's a secret murderer and you have like tasks that you have to do, like, you know, within the time frame of like a certain amount of time. And basically the murderer has to like, I think like kill people. And there's like a certain, like, you have to do it without being seen or like in a non-suspicious way. And everybody like can like press a button to like take a vote on who they think the murderer is and cast them out or whatever. I think that's the general gist of how it goes. You know, I played it literally like once or twice, and there's been a bunch of knockoff games of Among Us, you know what I mean, come out since then. But it definitely is huge, you know, in the gaming community. It took the world by storm, or the gaming community by storm, especially through COVID and stuff like that. So it's a big deal. It definitely is a big deal. And I think it was definitely, you know, interesting. It was interesting for the concept of a video game. It was just different, and I'm surprised they're making a movie out of it, though, just because like I have no idea where you would even go with that, because really it's just little spacemen, like these cartoonish spacemen, you know what I mean? Like, and I wouldn't really think there could be much backstory to that, you know what I mean? Like, I mean
you know, like I don't know much about it, like if there's a whole lot of lore behind this game. Like, I guess I could see, like, you know, explaining what the ship is, or like, so you're on a ship, right? If I'm not mistaken, like, you can.
Correct.
So you, if you're on a ship, like, maybe it's like where the ship's going, maybe where the ship came from, if there's an alien on board.
Right.
So my thing is, though, is there's only four people here. And I feel like if there's only four people that the possible murderer could be like the secret alien. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem like enough. I feel like you would need more than that. Like, if you've ever watched what was it? There was a movie called Clue. It was based off the board game.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had, when they made the movie, there were like three different versions that they shipped out to theaters. And each version, each of the three versions had a different ending.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the movie up a little bit so you could kind of like figure your way through who the actual murderer is.
Oh, interesting.
It was pretty neat.
Okay.
But like they had a big cast. And I'm not sure four people is enough cast for like finding the secret murderer. I feel like you would need like to double that almost. Because isn't there a ton of people when you play Among Us? Isn't it like a dozen people almost? Or am I mistaken?
So. I would say so. Yeah, I think so. There's a decent amount of people. Are we looking at the same one here? It's set for 2026. It says it stars Ben Affleck and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Is that correct?
I'm just looking at what Ghost sent us. So let me look up an actual.
I'm really trying to find this Among Us movie. Let me see. Among Us movie trailer. It looks like this is a concept, but I'm not 100% sure if the movie's coming out. I'm not sure if it's like. Let me see real quick. Movie trailer.
His one has. He showed Elijah Wood. Who was one of the others? It was Ashley Johnson, who I really like. She's a really good voice actress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was Yvette Nicole Brown, and I don't know if you know her. If you watched The Community, she was in that. Yeah.
That's like my favorite show ever.
Yeah, and so I like her a lot. So like I said, it seems like the casting is pretty good.
Is this a legit thing though? Like I'm looking for it online and I'm not seeing anything that stands out as like 100% legit.
Is it?
It seems like a lot of it is just speculation right now. You know, I'm looking at Among Us release day. Some people are saying, oh, it was scheduled for 2020. Another one says 2018. And then there's Among Us movie trailer. And then it says action concept, you know. I think these are all just concepts right now. I don't think there's anything 100%. I mean, I could be wrong, but just from what I'm looking at online, it doesn't seem like this is a like 100%, you know, 100% thing right now. I mean, it could be wrong. I'm going to try looking up the game movies coming out and see if it's on that list. But I don't think I see it, honestly. I don't know. I'm not seeing anything right now. Yeah, it's not at the top of this list. I don't know where Ghost is coming from. He's off his rocker, making up things. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything right now for Among Us coming out. So
I mean, I found one that's talking about, and Wood, who's, I mean, there's Forbes has an article and they got the same information that Ghost sent us.
He said about Forbes? The cast.
Yeah, Forbes.
Let's see.
I can send you the link if you want.
Oh, voice cast announced for Among Us movie. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it says Red is the captain of the Skeld. I'm guessing that's the ship.
Okay.
He's a people pleaser who failed upwards. You got Johnson, who provided the voice of Ellie in The Last of Us video games that spawned the series. They'll play the chief of security, who is Purple, who's described as a wet blanket and has trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
Brown, who's played by Yvette from Community.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be playing Orange. Sorry, they put her last name in there. So anyway, she's playing Orange, who's described as a spineless corporate shill. You know what? I could totally see her in that role. So that works. Uh-huh. And Elijah Wood, who's going to be playing Yellow Jacket, Yellow Jacket, and is green. Okay, so Yellow Jacket is the name and green is the color.
Okay.
And who's an unpaid intern and does whatever they're told.
Okay.
Is there any, like, because, like I said, I've never played, but do the people talk at all aside from like screaming when they die?
No, I don't. No, I don't think so. It's
this
a very
is just all totally made up. Pulled out of someone's butt.
Yes. So the Among Us game is basically just, yeah, there's like, yeah, the crew has a certain amount of tasks to complete before they all get murdered or before they figure out who the murderer is. But there's not like really any talking in the game. Like the characters don't talk. They're like, I think they're like silent, just little spacemen, you know? So, you know, coming up with an idea for a movie, I mean, if you vet Nicole Brown is in it, I think it's going to be kind of funny. Yeah, I think they're probably going to go on a little bit more funny side. You know what I mean? You know, like if they have voice actors, I'm almost seeing this probably is going to be like a animated one, right? Like this has got to be like a cartoon slash animated.
So this may not be a movie. It says the animated series.
Sure, that would make more sense, you know. And honestly, as it should be, I think so. I mean, what are you gonna do? Like, I imagine
movie would almost be better because there's not a whole lot to go with. There's an alien who's murdering people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you drag that out for a series?
Look, maybe I'm just biased, but I think more video game things need to be cartoons and stop making them live action. You know me, I'm like,
no, I agree. I'm just saying, I don't know how there's enough here to become a series, like a list of episodes.
Yeah,
like I mean, a movie, like an animated movie, I think would be the better way to go. But then again, I don't know how much story is involved. So
that's true. That's true.
It's
yeah.
hard to say. I don't know. I'll just kind of leave it in there and see how it turns out. I guess
see what happens. I think this one still we need a little bit more information on. Going off of just the you know, the voice actors, the speculated voice actors is a good start. Elijah Wood, you know, and Yvette Nicole Brown and, you know, of course, others. I think it'll probably side or err to the even the way they describe them. It'll probably err to the more comedic, you know, type of you know, series, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think, you know, I think it'd be funny. Like, you know, I could see it being a funny thing. But I think we need a little bit more information on that before we really start speculating as to what, you know, this movie could be. Because everything I'm finding is, funny enough, like, I'm really reaching to, to like, find information on this. So, I don't know. But we'll see, I guess, you know? We'll see. So, all right, yeah. What's the next one you got for us?
So, we got Anthony. he just said he thinks the cast of the Mountain from Game of Thrones should be Ganon.
The Mountain.
So I looked him up and I do not know how to pronounce his name. It is I'll just send it to you over Discord so you don't have to try to look it up.
Oh, I already looked it up. I actually looked it up before, okay. But I'm looking it up again just to see it.
I feel bad. I'm like, it's Hafþór Björnsson.
Yeah.
I think that's the best I can do. He's a big dude, but I don't think he speaks very much English, which is why they didn't have him talk a whole lot in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he would be the best as like for an American movie, unless Ganon's just not going to talk much.
Is he not American?
No, he's not.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and he doesn't speak English. They taught him like a dozen words of English for the TV series. But aside from that, he doesn't speak a lick of English, as far as I'm aware.
Interesting. Really? Okay. Well, he definitely plays the role. Real quick, actually, yeah. Kirk. So Chris was running behind, but I just sent him the Zoom info. So he's going to be joining up with us mid-podcast today. So special little treat, I guess.
It's a lot. I was talking to him on the phone earlier, and it was insanely loud at his work area where I couldn't hear what he was saying. So
oh, yeah.
If it's still that way, I'm suggesting we kick him back off.
Yeah, right?
But if we can hear him fine, that I'm okay with it.
He should be home by now, right? Right? Theoretically. No,
I don't think so.
All right, we'll see what happens. But looking at this guy, Gregor Clegane. It's Clegane. Clegane. Okay.
Clegane.
I see what he's talking about. I mean, the dude is busted. Like, he's a big guy, and it looks like he's in some sort of like gray makeup in one of these scenes or something like that. I don't know what this is. What this is in reference to. But I could see a version of Ganon here for sure because he's just big. Like, he's a hulking guy. Yeah. You know what
he's
I mean?
6'9". And he was, I don't know if he still is, but at least at the time, he was part of those strongman competitions, like strongest man in the world. And that's why he's so jacked as he is. He was constantly training for that.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see him playing Ganon, at least like physically. I don't know how, like, they almost might be able to do the thing where they do with Darth Vader, where you have like a big dude play as like the character, and then you get someone else to do like the voice.
Right, right. It's possible. They could do that. They could do that. What's up, Chris? Now we have Chris up in the pod. What's up, my man? Thanks for joining up with us.
Who said y'all can have a podcast without me? Who gave you permission this time?
I gave myself permission, mister. When you decided to work late, I said, screw you.
Well, you know, it is what it is. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. What are you going to do, you know? We didn't get too far, though. We didn't get too far, though, without you. So it's all good, man. We just answered some questions about the Among Us movie, speculated Among Us movie. Now we're talking a little bit about the Zelda casting because Anthony on X on our Twitter said that he thinks that the mountain from Game of Thrones could play Ganon. So we looked him up. And I mean, the dude is a big dude. Like he could do it.
Well, it depends on which one, because there were technically three different mountain actors.
Are you serious? So,
yeah, there's three.
Technically, this is the main one you see. Like the other guy, he was only around for like a single episode. The first guy.
Yeah, and the second one was there for a couple seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember him as well. Like the main dude I think of when thinking of the mountain is the dude that me and
the dude that killed the Viper.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, same here. That's the one I also picture. So
Okay. Is that the one we're talking about? The one that we're looking at?
Yes.
Okay. Gregor.
I still can't pronounce his name.
Gregor Clegane. Yeah. I don't think it's a bad choice. I mean, it's definitely something.
Gregor Clegane is the mountain, like the actual mountain's name in the book, in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Not the actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
The actor's name is like Thor, like, it's a Norwegian type game name. It's like Thor something. I don't know.
My thing is, like,
if that's how it's Thor Julius Bjornsson, but it doesn't sound like the Thor because it's an H A F letter that doesn't exist in our language. O R.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that I think is a little bit off about this guy that I think just wouldn't completely suit the look is just in his face. Like, he's got a very round face. I almost feel like Ganon is known. He's a Gerudo, you know what I mean? And Gerudo are still, like, they're known to be, like, you know, kind of bigger-nosed and, like, big jawline. They obviously have, like, a little bit of, like, elven ears, too. But, like, you can always make those. But for some reason, I'm imagining, like, the big nose and, like, a jawline on this guy. And I'm just like, I wonder if they could, like, CGI that. Yeah, the Thanos treatment.
So,
yeah, they're gonna need to do CGI on that, like, for sure. I mean, they definitely will probably do that for any, like, the person who does it anyways. But I'm trying to think, like, how that would work. I mean, he's not a bad choice though. Like, dude is huge. He's freaking busted. So, yeah, I mean, not a bad choice. But I mean, that kind of, let me see real quick. I can go ahead and share IGN's little update on the Zelda movie, actually, and what we know about it so far. There was a little bit of an update on it, so it's kind of cool, actually. So IGN posted this 3 hours ago. They said, Legend of Zelda live-action movie will take a surprising direction. It says here, the Legend of Zelda live-action movie director Wes Ball has big plans for Link's Awakening on the big screen. While speaking to Total Film, he spoke about the importance of getting the tone of Zelda properly, or the tone of the Zelda property just right for fans to fully immerse themselves in the world as it unfolds in live action. The quote reads, I want to fulfill people's greatest desires. I know it's important, this Zelda franchise, to people. And I want it to be a serious movie. A real movie that can give people an escape. He goes on to describe the world he wishes to create as something that'll feel real to audiences, as well as maintaining that fun and whimsy that's been established in countless Zelda games. The Legend of Zelda movie is coming to us from Nintendo, of course, as well as Sony Pictures, blah, blah, blah. Miyamoto will be there to produce the film with Jurassic World writer, director, writer Derek Connolly reportedly handling the script. There's no word on if the movie will adapt one of Zelda's numerous storylines or create something original. But based on what we saw play out in the Mario movie, it's likely we will see an original story with elements from the previous games sprinkled throughout. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool. And I honestly think we were right, you know, in our speculations on, you know, the fact that it's probably going to be a more serious, like, you know, movie. And right. Like, you know, that's what he's saying. He wants to get it right. He wants, like he says here, wants to be able to fans to fully immerse themselves. He wants it to be a serious movie here. He says, he quoted, you know, I know it's important to sell the franchise to people. I want it to be a serious movie, a movie that can give people an escape. So I'm very happy about that, honestly, because it kind of gives me more, like, I imagine a little bit more close to kind of how Lord of the Rings would be, like, you know, in terms of like that realistic world, like using real locations, you know what I mean? Maybe possibly is what he means.
Right.
You know, and filming on site in legitimate, you know, legitimate locations and stuff like that, having it have a darker, serious undertone that people can get lost in. Maybe he is going to kind of go a little bit more like Game of Thrones, you know what I mean, with it, and like maybe have like the serious undertone to it, but have it be like Zelda. I don't know. Like, that might not be a bad direction. You know, I'm kind of okay with that.
I think it sounds good. I just don't want it to be too serious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the Zelda games always have a little bit of like silliness to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Koroks and, you know, the, like, there's always a little bit of silliness to it.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to be gone entirely. I don't want it to, like you said, like be Game of Thrones to an extent maybe, but not too much.
Right. Game of Thrones really serious, you know? Like, it's very much so. Yeah.
That's why I do think the Lord of the Rings itself is a good balance, because it does have that serious nature, but it also has the comic relief and all that. I mean, heck, you look at Pippin and you know, the whole, you know, what about second breakfast? You know, afternoon tea. You know,
when Legolas takes down the elephant and Gimli's like, it still only counts as one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, little things like that. Just like those things, hilarious. So,
It says here that the world he wishes to create is something that'll feel real to audiences, as well as maintaining that fun and whimsy that has been established in countless Zelda games. So, yeah, I'm not sure where they'll pull that from, you know, where that whimsy will come from, if it'll be in the jokes or if it'll be in, like, you know, the singular characters like the postman or something like that, you know, like the random characters that, you know, kind of were a little bit more humorous in the games. But still, it's very interesting, and I'm still speculating on it even in my head, because like now that we know his direction is going to be a little bit more serious, it's like, okay, like how serious are we talking here? And like you said, Kirk, earlier, like how much is Link going to talk? That's still going through my head. Like, is this guy going to talk at all? Like,
I honestly, I really, really hope he doesn't say anything. But yeah, you know, just the sound effects.
But how could he not? How could he not, though? Like, somebody else has got to talk for him.
The same way he does in all the games, where he just walks up, people explain things to him, and then he just runs off and goes and does stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah,
I could see that. I could see that. I don't know, man. I'm excited for this one, though. I'm really excited. I'm not trying not to get my hopes up too much, but I'm excited that it's going to take a little bit more of a serious, you know, turn and see what they come out of it. But then again, I think the people directing the Tomb Raider movies took it seriously and it didn't make them any better. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. And people that took not Tomb Raider, but the male Tomb Raider.
Uncharted.
Uncharted. They also took it seriously. It didn't help it either. At least, according
So. Yeah. I mean, we can agree that was still at least a decent movie, like in of itself, you know. But I'm just pissy about it because of the fact that it had the Uncharted name anyway. You know my take on it. You know, I won't drag Tom Holland's name through the mud any more than I already have. But then again, maybe I will. I hate him. No, I don't hate
him. All right, we're going to fight about it again. He's the best Spider-Man.
God. Just listen to that podcast that we did on the way home from work, you know, just for sound quality and all that, just checking everything. Mm-hmm. And man, we were off topic on Spider-Man. Like probably a third of that podcast. That
was yeah. It was like the last, what do you call it? Like 20, 25 minutes or something like that. We were talking about Spider-Man, but
and I still had more to argue with you guys about. I wasn't done yet.
Well, hey, one thing I will say this, not to get into the argument again. One thing I realized I couldn't like quite word what I was trying to say about why I didn't really like Tom Holland, because I mentioned he was a kid. But that is honestly, to me, a lot of the instances where you cited like, this is him being nerdy, not necessarily the knowledge, like knowing being smart, but like him being socially awkward. To me, whenever I saw that, I saw kid versus nerd. That's kind of my issue with it. That's my overall issue. It's just, I keep seeing a little kid, like just a kid that obviously gets embarrassed, but not, isn't really nerdy. And so that was my take on it. So.
I gotcha. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is Tom Holland sucked and he should never play Spider-Man again because he was a kid, you know, and he was Iron Man Jr. and he wasn't Spider-Man. And even he tried being a nerd, you know, he tried, but ultimately he failed.
So
you
wrong.
Know?
You're so wrong. I get so mad. I'm kidding.
Hey, you know what? You can get mad all you want. I will say this. I'm pretty sure it, you know, obviously to each their own, everybody likes them differently, but at least I can revel in the fact that I'm pretty sure, like, numbers wise, I think like people, just overall fans like him the least, if not second least. So.
Interesting. You know what? That's a big statement.
There's three. How, second least is second place.
Well, they hate him second. The second most.
Who do they hate?
You are a fool.
I didn't work that. Look, I just got off. Leave me alone. It's working on. It's 7:50, and I just got home from work. Leave me alone.
Chris, keep making accusations. I love it.
At the very least, what I can say is Tom Holland is the best, or the second best.
To you?
No, to everyone.
No, numbers wise.
No. Tom like Holland is favored more so than Andrew Garfield.
Whoa.
People did not like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. That's why he only had two movies.
Whoa. Come on.
No, that's not actually true.
I love that Garfield. I love
you're him. Two people amongst millions.
No, hold on. That is, well, yeah. But overall, people still liked Tobey Maguire the best. And I still even want to say Andrew Garfield second best. But on a side note, that is not why Andrew Garfield, they didn't make more movies with him at all. The main reason they did that was because Sony, the heads of Sony, felt that he disrespected them it was some sort of big meeting that he just kind of shrugged off. And because of that, they vowed he would never play Spider-Man again because they were pissed off at him. Nothing to do with the fact that...
I don't think that's true because he did play Spider-Man again.
He didn't though.
Later on,
he literally was Spider-Man in the third Tom Holland movie.
Yes, later on though, but that is why they removed him. So, you know, that's the reason why he wasn't Spider-Man anymore.
It was due to legal reasons or something. Like I'm looking it up right now. It said that it was due to legal reasons. I don't know what is going on, but. Either way, they brought him back, okay? They brought him back and with the Tom Holland one. That's the one thing Tom Holland, Spider-Man, has going for him is that he brought back the other Spider-Man, which I think, you know, really, I think that probably was the only thing that, that Tom Holland offered from his Spider-Man, you know, was bringing back the other ones. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I agree with you. That's the only redeeming quality of that Tom Holland.
Here's the thing. I think personally that there's a world of people who are shut out from talking about Tom Holland's Spider-Man because they're in fear of the repercussions that will ensue upon them because the general society, you know, it's socially acceptable thing to like the newer one, you know, and like to like Tom Holland in general. And I think like most people are scared, you know what I mean, to like talk about it. They're like, no, if I say I don't like it, then people will not like me. I actually did like, you know, Andrew Garfield a lot. I think there's a lot of Andrew Garfield likers out there who are just scared to admit it. Okay, that's what I think. I think there's a lot more people out there who really enjoyed Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, and they're just scared. I think they're just scared. They're
I
worried.
Think he was fine, but he was too cool.
No, of course, of course,
he was too much of a cool pretty boy.
Yeah, but like the movies themselves were. I'll be honest with you. I mean, solid. I think personally, solid. Movies, especially the first one, but the second one, I mean, there's the guy, you know, the main Electro guy falls into a vat of eels. We don't need to talk about that, you know. Not every movie's perfect.
That was kind of meh.
Like, well, Buddy falls into eels. Was he trying to like kill himself or something, or like?
No, he slipped.
Honestly, I think that was slipped? The worst Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Spider-Man movie.
I thought he slipped. I don't. Yeah, but
I will say this: I know that one was like the least well. But I actually really did like that one, especially with all the music and stuff like that.
Dude,
like
the music
and that, like when I saw that in theaters and I had all, you know, surround sound around me and the music was just playing the dubstep and the, you know, it just,
oh my gosh.
It filled down my spine. Like it was so good.
Dude, it is so good. So good. Yeah, I know that, dude.
I know. Yeah, I actually just looked it up. Yeah, Andrew Garfield definitely was least favored, but Tom Holland was still second. That being said, you know, it's just the movies themselves. Whether or not you liked him as an actor, the movies themselves were really good. I liked them at least.
Mm-hmm. The first one was better, I think, than the second one, obviously. But the first one I thought was actually a solid watch.
I don't remember the first one as much.
With the lizard and Uncle Ben. I know that.
I just don't remember it as much, so I can't really like compare the two. Yeah. However, I will say I really do think he was the best when it came to like comedic wise, like just because he was so funny and he had like that quip, you know, about him, like that, you know, that I don't know. It's just, I think he was the best when it came to like.
You see, I thought Tom Holland was the funniest comedic wise because he was so bad that it was comedically hilarious. You know what I mean?
I'm leaving the podcast. I'm out of here.
Take it back. I think Tobey Maguire's was actually low key the funniest because the amount of one liners we got from.
That is true. Tobey Maguire. He's like
kidding me. The memes.
Like meme.
He is so memeable. Everything he says is so memeable, dude. Like you could just say any line out of those.
Here's
movies.
The thing: is one of my favorite lines would be would get him canceled nowadays. Was did your husband give that to you?
Yes. That wouldn't fly nowadays. No.
That's a cute little suit. Did your husband give that to you?
I got you in 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime. What's your name, kid? The Human Spider.
That's all you got.
That's all you got? Oh, it sucks.
Spider-Man. He got my name wrong. I don't care. Get out there.
No, he got my name wrong. Look, you just... I can't feel my legs.
God.
There's so many lines, dude. Spider-Man killed my father. Tell me something. If you knew who he was, would you tell me? Harry, I don't know. Oh, you know what's a good one is... what was it with Flash? I don't want to fight you, Flash. I don't want to fight me neither. There's God. Oh, dude.
Get in there, Harry. Help him.
Which help one? Him. Help him, Harry. Literally every line, dude. Like, it's a meme. You know, I'm something of a scientist myself. And they even knew it, dude. They knew it. Like, in the newer Tom Holland movies, like, they had Willem Dafoe say that line. Remember when he was in prison? He was like, a scientist, you know? I'm something of a scientist myself. And it was like, okay. Okay, that was good. That was funny. Like, you got us. Yeah, but they know.
Callback.
It's callback. They know how memeable those movies were. Like, that, those movies are legitimately comedies when you take a step back and watch them. Like, rewatch them and just, like, I don't know. You don't even need to have a drink, but let's say you're, like, you know, down a little, like, one or two. Like, it is a comedy. Like, in all honesty, man, it's so good. That's why I love those early Toby movies, you know. But anyway, I'm sorry.
We got off topic.
Are we too off topic, boys, or should we just keep going down this rabbit hole? No.
should we just keep pissing Kirk off and talking crap about Tom Holland?
Yeah. So. Yeah, let's keep going. So another reason why I hate Tom Holland, his face, you know, just
he's got such a punchable face. That's all it is. So
you know what I think about sometimes is like it's like
calm.
I think about this sometimes and I'm like, you know, if like I ever met Tom Holland in person, it's like, of course I'm be like, oh, Tom Holland, you're awesome, like I love you so much. And then I imagine him like listening to our podcast and I'm like, I don't know anything about that.
He'd punch you in the face after listening to you guys.
We talk crap about him for like 30 minutes and he's just like, hey, aren't you the, because he's British, right? He's like, oh, aren't you the blokes that like were saying how crap I am in this movie? It's like, no, you can bugger off or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. No disrespect. I mean, we definitely did disrespect Tom Holland quite a bit in our podcasts. But again, not a bad actor. Just not my Spider-Man, you know? So you're going to get
like, it's like whenever the Dire Wolf Kid movies came out and they changed Roderick,
yeah. And people were like, not my Roderick.
Yeah, it's not hashtag not my Roderick.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly like that. So you got to give him a hard time a little bit. It's just a wee little bit. So, all right. I think we went off topic enough. So,
I mean, it's not like it's that big of a deal. We don't have a specific topic this podcast anyway. So,
yeah, you guess you're right. It's not a huge deal, but we can move on if you guys are all set. But is there anything else, Kirk, from the X page that we did not answer yet?
No, I mean, a little bit. Ghost was saying he agreed with you about the Uncharted movie. He was saying the actor who played Sully was the original choice for Nate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it was Matt Damon. I'm sorry. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, not even close.
But yeah, Mark, I could see him as being a halfway decent, you know, Nathan Drake.
Again, you just gotta take out the Boston accent.
Take out the Boston accent. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not even saying that as an insult, just like obviously, you know, he didn't have a Boston accent, so you'd have to do a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I definitely think it looks wise, he definitely has it down.
Right. You know, so yeah. Originally he was obviously, yeah, he was meant to play Nathan Drake because they were gonna go in more of like a, you know, his age storyline, but then at the last second they were like, no, we're gonna like go down a younger version of Nathan and like go down,
well, that,
you know,
that way they can try to franchise it and make a bunch of movies.
Yeah, but like, come on, let's be real here, like are they gonna make a bunch of more movies like with Tom? I don't know, dude, like they might. But again, like, you could have done that with Mark Wahlberg too. He's not that old, you know what I mean? Like, you can have multiple, you know, stories.
I mean, right, you can make him look younger too.
Yeah,
I
you mean, really could.
He's not old enough to where you can't make him look young.
Right. I feel like this is just us ramping up to diss Tom Holland again.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I feel like we're just getting there, and I kind of just want to, like, you know, beat it to the punch a little bit. Like, it's again, like not my Nathan Drake, you know? Not my Nathan Drake. It just wasn't it.
You guys went over the Among Us movie already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, who was the casting on that?
Was
yeah, I think you had it pulled up, Kirk.
Back up.
I couldn't find the right one. I think Yvette Nicole Brown was in there, and Elijah Wood was. And
there was also Randall Park as Red, the captain, and Ashley Johnson as Purple, the security chief.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
the fact that they've got a Among Us movie coming out in general is just interesting.
Isn't it? Like we were talking about that and we were just like, it's a little strange, you know, the idea. I mean, I still don't know if it's legit. Like I was reaching a little bit for like finding stuff. But it seems like there's little rumblings of it.
I was going to say, to me, they've already got it. I mean, besides like the spacesuits, it's literally just based off of the movie The Thing. So it's, you know, the movie where they're in Antarctica, they find something buried in the snow, turns out to be an alien, you know, it infects them, you know, takes over the body and like, you know, is slowly killing them one by one, you know, while being, you know, looking exactly like human. So, I mean, it's literally just The Thing already, which I think both the movies are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's that what the original Thing movie is actually my favorite horror movie of all time, but
really,
yeah.
So it's you said it's supposed to be based off of that, like the same exact idea,
pretty much. I mean, I think that's where the guy from Among Us got it from, was that those movies. That's literally it's to a T. It's literally aliens, and an alien parasite or whatever kills one of the hosts, looks exactly like them, and then starts killing off the rest.
Interesting.
That's literally what Among Us is. So,
yeah. All right. Well, interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you think they're going to take a more serious approach when it comes to the movie, Ben? Or do you think it's going to be a little bit more silly?
I think it's going to be more serious approach. I think it's going to be, they're going to actually try to do somewhat of a horror / action movie.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
That's my opinion on it. I can't see them. I mean, Among Us looks cartoony and it's not very like high graphic, but I wouldn't really say it's, I mean, aside from like the little customizations you can have for your character, I don't really think it's like overly silly as it is.
Right. So, okay.
I don't necessarily think the movie itself is going to have much of a silly tone. So I think it's just going to be a, you know, their own little like action movie, and it's either going to do well or it won't. So,
okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I was thinking it would be a little bit more like on the silly side. Like I was imagining like, you know, something like cartoony. Like I didn't think like they would do live action or anything like that. Just because it's
an animated series from what I understand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So animated, you know, I only assume they can go. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll be
animated.
But said the Forbes article we read earlier was talking about the casting for the animated series of Among Us.
Oh, if it's going to be animated, then I can imagine it being cartoony. Maybe they'll turn it for kids.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe like T for teen. No, not for like little kids, because there's still murder. That's right. And like, I'm pretty sure it's really gory. Like when someone's head gets bitten off, there's like a bone sticking out of them. So
it's right. Very cartoony. It's not gory. It's very cartoony. It's
yeah, but cartoons can still include lots of gore.
Yes, but I'm saying this is not. This is cartoony. It's very, like, not gory. So, the game itself isn't gory. There is obviously blood and stuff like that, but it's not, like, it's not crazy. I can see, I do agree that it more than likely will be something for, like, teen. You know, I wouldn't say, like, teens, but maybe, like, preteens and, you know, like 12, 13 year olds, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be for that much younger. You never know. They make game, not games. They make really anything media wise, so much more worse than it needs to be for kids nowadays. So who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Who knows, so. Man? Who knows? I'm looking at some more gaming news. Do you have any anything else, any other viewpoints over there on the X page?
That was it.
That was it. Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
Right now I'm reading up on Mass Effect 5 news.
Cool. Cool.
I know a lot of fans are pretty happy that Stardew Valley just got I think it's final update or second to final update, which added a crap ton of stuff to the game itself.
Oh, that's right. You're right. There was a huge update. People were like making like videos on TikTok about that. I saw, and they were like thinking they were done with their land, and then there's like a new update, and they have to like go back and like restart. Well, like
they knew that there was another update coming. So.
Yeah.
I'm definitely happy for it for sure too. Just
because you're a big Stardew Valley gamer, so you would probably know.
I still say that your wife needs to try that game out. She would love it.
I think so too. I'm still trying to get her into like just gaming and other avenues in general. So we've been doing a little bit of Minecraft here and there, like making houses. Like she'll just basically go around like breaking, like picking flowers, like literally that's the only thing she'll do. She'll just run around and hoard all the flowers.
I will say this. It is on the Switch. So if she plays more games on the Switch, maybe get it for her on that.
See, when here's something interesting, she's actually like way more comfortable playing on mouse and key. Like she can't do a controller. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like I'm surprised by it, but it's why I want to get like another PC, because not only do I want to upgrade, but I want to give her my laptop, you know, that I use, because she's not going to play any like hardcore games that require a lot of like, you know, a lot of processing power or whatever. I'm surprised by it, because what I'll do is I'll load up Minecraft and have her be on the mouse and key, and I'll use a controller, and we'll just do split screen, her on, you know, M and K, me on controller, and it works out. But she gets it. Like when I put her on a controller, she had a harder time like you know, understanding how that works. And for some reason, when she's on mouse and key, she just totally gets it. Because I think the games she played when she was younger were definitely like always on mouse and key. Like she never really was a console gamer as a kid. Even like with the Nancy Drew games and stuff like that she played, she used a mouse, you know, to control that, and would use like a keyboard to type stuff. So she's familiar at least with it. You know, it takes her a little bit to get used to the controls on the left side, but she gets it. Like she can at least move around the camera and do like basic, you know, things. So I'm surprised by it though. I was like, oh wow, like she's actually really taking to it, like way better than I thought she would. But she's doing it, and I honestly greatly appreciate it, because it's fun, you know, like when we're even when we're just doing mundane like random things in Minecraft, I'm like showing her like, you know, you can do more than just, you know, pick flowers. There's a lot of stuff we can do, you know. You can go mining, you can build a house, you know. And so we're doing it slowly but surely, you know. But I have yet to find that game that I think she really just like gets into, because that's how she is. Like when she gets into something, it's not just like she'll play it a little bit and come back to it. Like she will binge whatever she wants. So you know she'll like it if she binges it, either a TV show, a book, you know, whatever it is. Like she will binge it, like go for it. So I'll know it when I see it, I think, when she takes to a game and she gets it and like really enjoys it. So we'll see, you know, but we're trying some stuff out. But yeah, it's been interesting.
It's Stardew Valley, maybe Terraria. Not Terraria. I think that'd be too much for her. Stardew Valley or Animal Crossing.
That's what I thought. I thought Animal Crossing too. I was like, you know, why not? Yeah. But it didn't really take, because she likes games that are more fast paced. Funny enough, the games that she really got into were like it's not really that fast paced, but like the old Super Mario Bros, like on Switch, like she would play through that. And all of them, honestly, like all of the Super Mario Bros, like she liked the platforming game and stuff like that. So was that your cat?
Yeah, my cat just jumped up on me.
But he's like, what's going on?
Exactly. No, well, maybe, heck, Terraria, maybe she'll like it. I still think it'll be too much for her, but maybe she will like Terraria. So
maybe I think she likes having a goal. You know, I think that's the thing, is that she likes having a goal set and, like, you know, get from point A to point B. And having it a little bit open-ended, I think, is a little overwhelming for somebody like her, you know, being a newer gamer and also just, you know, like getting dropped into games nowadays. Cause I feel like even too, I mean, I don't think we can completely understand, because I think if you played Minecraft from the beginning, like ever since it came out back in like 2012, you kind of had time to grow up with the game and get used to a lot of its mechanics and functions over time. And now, like, that we're like more than 10 years past its release, there's been so many things added to the game that is like, it's hard to explain half of it. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of just had to have been there to be like, yeah, like, this is how you make this. And, oh, this does this when you add it to this. Oh, and this, if you make this, then you can make this. You know, it's very overwhelming for somebody jumping in on the bandwagon 14 years later, you know, now that the game has so much content. And I think that's kind of, I think that might be a little bit of a hang up, especially for newcomer gamers too. You know, is when you jump into a game that's already so developed and so matured, I guess, you know, and it can be tough for people like us who have been playing it for so stinking long. I mean, I'll find myself getting a little bit impatient. Like, how do you not, like, understand? Like, you could just make this thing. Like, I'll be thinking that to myself, but then I'm like, I gotta remember, like, oh yeah, like, this isn't simple to somebody who's just starting out. Like, this is actually incredibly complicated. Like, the whole crafting system, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. But, like, once you get it, you get it. But it's just, it can be a little overwhelming, you know, for some people. So I totally get it, you know, but I have yet to find it. I have yet to find that one that sticks, you know, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
For sure. For sure.
I just appreciate that she's doing it at all. Like, you know, like, taking the time out to game with me at all. You know, I really appreciate that, you know.
That is pretty legit. And again, I've said it before, but that's like one of the few things I want in life, in a wife, is for her to game with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to play video games with me, man. That's all.
Yeah. You know what? I explained it to her. I was like, she's more of a reader. So what I'll do is, like, we were just on a walk the other day and she was like, you should read more books. And I was like, I know I should read more books. Like, I know I would read them. I think I would be more apt to listening to them, I told her, nowadays. But, like, reading isn't like something I don't like doing. Like, I'll do it, but it's just not something that I would do over other things. You know, does that make sense? Like, it's not like, yeah, it's not like my, like, thing that I would do to relax or to, like, or, like, I have so many other things I'd rather do than read. You know what I mean? And so, like, not that I hate reading, because I used to read a lot, like, back in school, you know, I'd read random fiction books or whatever, and I actually got really into it. But nowadays, it's like, my main focus is either on, like, music or gaming or even, like, you know, something like mountain biking if, like, the weather's nice enough. Like, I'd rather do that than read, you know? And for her, it's like, gaming is kind of like that, you know, like, it's like, it's not like her go-to, it's not her default setting. It's like, you know, it's like, she'll do it, but it's not like her default. There's other things she'd rather be doing. So I really greatly appreciate it when she does take the time to do it, you know, and just do it at all, because I understand, like, you know, it's not like your default. It's not like where you get re-energized necessarily. So it's cool. You know, I'm just hoping one of these games take, you know, eventually. And you know
what you could do.
What?
Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I
mean, she gets to make her own character. She can make her own choices.
Mm-hmm. She won't like the game. I can already tell you that right now.
Too scary. You know,
no, not even too scary, just the stuff that's in it. She won't like it.
Yeah, so. Probably not. But it's OK. There's a lot of options out there. She definitely likes story based games for sure. Like, she would. A lot of people did this, actually, would watch me play Uncharted. But I think that's kind of a tough comparison, because Uncharted basically is a movie, like, when you play it, you know. But it's
why don't you just try to introduce her to the wonders of Skyrim?
I thought that too. I was like, you know, that would be really cool. But again, I don't think she would be super into that, just because she's not super into fantasy, like, you know, like, fantasy stuff, like Lord of the Rings stuff.
It would end up it would end up to where she's like, okay, Alec, you can't play this game no more.
Yeah, she'd be like, I don't think so, hon. Like, yeah,
Cyberpunk. This is a game.
Again, like, Cyberpunk is cool, but like, I feel like it'd be a little overwhelming and like, you know, like a big open world. Like, maybe she'd get like, I don't know. Like, it's tough. It's tough to say. Like, it's really tough to find that medium. I almost feel like it almost has to be like a fast paced, you know, simple graphics, you know, graphic wise, you know, I don't know what you call it graphically, like fast paced, simple graphics, heavy story driven, heavy goal driven type of game that's on mouse and key.
What about the Tomb Raider trilogy? Not the new one, the classic, like the where they remade them. I mean, like, they got the nice graphics, the new Lara, you can like hunt animals and like gotta like try to survive.
Maybe. Which one are you talking about?
I got it here on my Steam list. I don't remember the exact name.
I think the original one she would like, the original Tomb Raider, not the one where she still had boobs, not the new skinny one.
No, the new skinny one, because those are a lot more story driven. The older ones, they had some story, but it wasn't that much.
They had they were nothing but story. What are you talking about?
What?
Yeah, that was it was nothing but story, and the story was good too.
There was story, but it was mostly like running around in like empty dungeons most of it.
I think we're thinking of different games then, because I remember there being a lot of story.
But yeah, and Tomb Raider. It is what it's called. It's just Tomb Raider. And it's the 2013 one.
2013 Tomb Raider. Let me see real quick. Okay. I'm curious to see what we got going on here. So you're saying it's the is this like an older graphic wise?
No, this one has the nice graphics. It was like one of the first games that introduced like Tress FX hair, where like each strand of hair is its own thing.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty beefy game like when it first came out. But I mean, like, this is where you're like using a pickaxe, like climb walls. And
oh, you know what? Dude. Yeah.
And
so
you like start upgrading your bow and like picking up new gear as you go.
Yeah, dude. So I played this one years ago, back when I had a PS3, I think. And I was playing on there, and I barely remember this game, but I remember liking it.
Very story driven.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You were saying you can play it on mouse and keyboard. It's got the good graphics. It's quick. It's fast paced when you're actually in the action and doing stuff.
Right.
I think if that's kind of like what you're thinking, this might be just right down her alley.
You know what? This would be a good one for me to play, like, and her to watch, because I think it's a little bit still too, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not confusing, but like a little bit like complicated, like, for her. And I think she likes
first. It might be, but you gotta let her grow. She, you know, she's gotta start expanding her horizons when it comes to gaming. You know,
I guess
because everyone started off at some point. You know, you start off playing like Mario, and it was a 2D side scroller, and it was very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start getting into bigger games, it's already becoming more and more complicated. So, you know, I mean, if you feel like you could probably like kind of get her into it with something else, like leading up into it. But
yeah, I would say
you have to play more complicated games at some point.
I would say so. I would say this one is definitely good in terms of the story driven aspect of it. I don't know if she would like to play it just due to like the violence that came out of it. Because it's a little bit intense. Like, it's, you know, like Tomb Raider. I mean, Uncharted was intense in its own way, but I feel like it was like Tomb Raider, I think, takes it a little bit of a step up when it comes to the intensity of, right, like, you know, the.
Hey, that's what I'm saying, dude. The original one, it's less in the game. Like, it's not as difficult of a game, and it's less graphic because it's, you know, significantly older game.
Right. So. Right. But I do remember this old Tomb Raider and having a lot of fun with that one, actually. I played, you know, funny enough, when I bought an Xbox One when they first, you know, were coming out, actually, it was probably like 2015. So it wasn't that, you know, wasn't that new, actually. But what came with it was Rise of the Tomb Raider, like that one that came out. And I think it wasn't like, I don't remember if that one was the one that wasn't that good. I think Rise of the Tomb Raider was okay. I think the newer one, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I think that one didn't really perform too well.
Tomb Raider was bad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that one. That one was, yeah, not very. I don't think that one did very well. But Rise of the Tomb Raider was decent, at least, and it was cool. Like I thoroughly enjoyed the Lara Croft Tomb Raider games when I played them, but for some reason I just can't remember them. I don't know. I don't know why. Like I think back, I think it's because maybe I just like binge played them and played them all like, you know, overnight. That usually tends to happen when I binge a game. Like I just forget it like completely. I did that with Arkham Knight too. And I was like, I don't remember that game like at all. But I played it like overnight when I couldn't sleep one night and finished it, you know, that night. So yeah, it's probably
had the insomnia kicking in.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was weird. It was like when I was like went snowboarding one night and I just got home and I was like, man, I can't freaking sleep, man. Like I don't know why I'm not going to bed tonight. And I just started playing, and next thing I knew it was morning time, and I was like, well, what are you gonna do, you know? Like so yeah, I'm just still trying to do some research. What do you guys think, though? Like, I think the classic ones might be a little bit more up her alley just because they might be a little bit more simpler controls. I mean, you got to remember, this is somebody who came from point-and-click games. You know what I mean? Like, literally zero movement, like, maneuverability, and like, 3D aspects are just not, like, at the top, you know, of her list of things that she is, like, you know, good at, like when it, you know what I mean? Like, moving in a 3D space. She can do it. Yeah. Like, Minecraft, she's getting used to it, you know? But again, it's not like the strong suit. So I almost wonder if it like could be like a game that's a little bit more like, I don't know, like top down or side scroller-y, but with like a story. I'm almost thinking like Undertale or like something along those lines. You know what I mean? That has like a heavy story, but it's like side scroller.
I think she would like Undertale.
Yeah.
It may be a little difficult for her, but I don't think difficult in the sense of like, it's just a difficult game, but not difficult for her to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she would like it. I still think Stardew Valley. You gotta get her to play Stardew Valley.
I need to play.
You can also introduce her to Scribblenauts if she has a good imagination.
Oh yeah,
Scribblenauts. Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
I'm trying to remember. I totally know Scribblenauts, but I totally forget what. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Scribblenauts. You know what's so funny is like, I almost feel like she would like Overcooked, like that new game Overcooked that came out.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's fun. That game is fun.
I've never played it, but I've seen other people playing it. And a part of me feels like she would like it in a weird way, because I don't know. Like, something about it. Something calls out to me a little bit. But
I think you'd have fun playing it too. But I will say this, story-wise, is like zero story. But
no, of course, of course.
But I think she would have fun playing it for sure. So
yeah, it's actually on sale. Overcooked 2 is on sale right now for $6.
Yeah, it's not a big game.
Straight up though, I should probably like buy that, because that's,
so we just throw her in the deep end and have her play GTA 5, right?
Yes, we'll get her in the casinos playing blackjack with us, you know, losing all the money then winning big.
I got them addicted to blackjack in that game,
dude. Dude, I don't want to talk. Like that literally taught me how to play blackjack, and I brought that into my real life. Not even kidding. Like yeah. I bring that to parties now. Like I'll have parties and people will be like, yo, like we doing blackjack. I'm like, oh heck yeah, we're doing blackjack. And I bought like chips and stuff like that. And usually I'm the dealer. So because I don't know, it's just, you know, I introduced the game and everybody wants to play. I'm the dealer. It's just my thing now. You know, I'm dealer, but it's fun, man. Like it legitimately is fun. And it's a good thing to do at a party. Like if you don't want to play like something like stupid, like I don't know, like Cards Against Humanity, which I mean, nothing against Cards Against Humanity, but like after you play it like a couple of times, I feel like it's like, okay, all right, like
Secret Hitler is one of my group's favorite board games to play.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
what are you
Secret
talking
Hitler?
About what
Secret Hitler?
Yeah, it's a board game where you have you know, I think it's like the two parties, and they're trying to pass bills, and then there's the people who are the bad guys, they're on the other party, and it's all a big secret. And so the opposite team, like no one knows who's on each other's team is, right? You're all in the dark of like who's who.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad team is trying to get Hitler elected into power, and you have to figure out who Hitler is.
Man. What?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like,
it literally says
more to it, but it's
no, I'm looking
so
at this
fun.
Right now. It has like little boards that say liberal and fascists and stuff. Mm-hmm. On it.
Yeah, you gotta vote to you gotta like vote in a president, and then the president and the vice president like pick policies.
What?
And the fascists can win by putting enough policies down or by getting Hitler voted into power, and the liberals win by either shooting Hitler with a bullet or by vote putting enough liberal policies into power or into effect.
This sounds kind of hilarious, if I'm being honest with you.
It's great fun with people, like, especially with people who like are good at lying.
Yeah.
People who are really bad at lying.
Yeah.
Like, it's really fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. Or people who just love lying. You know what I mean? Yeah. Why not? This is awesome. Okay, yeah. Love it. Yeah, I see. I'd rather play something like that than like Cards Against Humanity again. I feel like Cards Against Humanity is just so overplayed nowadays. Like, it was funny like at first, and then I feel like now it's like, okay, like do we really need to play this again? Yeah. It's like, I feel like you're just kind of reaching at this point for something to do, you know? But like, if you whip out blackjack, I mean, everybody's like, you know, I don't know. Plus, it's like engaging enough, but it's not so engaging that like, if you want to have a conversation on your own, you can still play, you know what I mean? And have like your own side conversation, as long as you're, you know, relatively paying attention, you know, you just be like, yep, hit, or, you know, no, I'll hold, I'll stand.
Yeah.
So, but it's good, man. It's good. Yeah, Chris got us hooked on that after playing some GTA, man. And I'll tell you what, I am not looking back. Like, never looking back on that one.
Yeah. I'm very happy I got them hooked on it. So.
Yeah, good times, though, man. Good times. But yeah, we'll just chuck her in there. We'll chuck her in a little bit of GTA, you know, make her win big money and then have her lose it all. You know, classic experience, you know.
Throw in a multiplayer where she'll die 20 times to botters.
Literally. Yeah. Some dude on a hover bike, you know.
I was like, her account gets banned within 5 minutes because someone else is using mods.
Yeah.
Right. Literally, and my whole goal in that game was to buy one of those hover bikes, and I finally did it. It was like $8 million or something stupid. And I bought one, and then it was like, no, in order to upgrade it, like, you have to buy another vehicle that's like another like $5 million or something stupid, and then on top of that you have to bring it in there and pay more money to have it upgraded. And I was like, oh, I was like, what was I made for? Like,
yeah, that's why they start selling the shark cards, man. They gotta get you making, spending money.
Literally, dude. I was like, I'm not spending money in here. I did this all, like, you know how many times I played the Kale Perico heist, man? Come on. You ain't gonna get me spending real money in that game.
Yeah, it's blind. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
So as far as gaming news goes, Elder Scrolls or Bethesda put out their happy 30-year anniversary to Elder Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a little bit of talking about like their different games and stuff. And there's one section of it here. I'm going to read it real fast. We are in development on the next chapter. What?
I was going to say, real quick before you read that, are you saying they released another Elder Scrolls edition, or they're just saying happy 30-year anniversary?
They're saying happy 30-year anniversary.
Okay. I thought there was another edition that they just released. I was like,
another edition of Skyrim?
Yeah.
Well, they reintroduced mods, so they technically kind of did. They broke everyone's games again.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to read this now. We are in development on the next chapter, The Elder Scrolls 6. Even now, returning to Tamriel and playing early builds has filled us with the same joy, excitement, and promise of adventure. Thank you again for supporting all of us these decades, and all you have brought to the games, making them your own. We couldn't be more excited to continue it and celebrate the next 30 years. So that tells
So basically no news.
not really news, but that, I mean, that's kind of good though, is that early builds are playable. Usually
really?
You don't get to a playable build till you're like long into development.
Really? That is interesting. So,
yeah, that's good news. Like, if the fact that it's playable and they're testing it. If they weren't doing that, we'd be looking at a much longer time before we'd get to see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So you think that is possible, that it could be coming a little bit sooner than we think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm still thinking 5 years.
So
get that freaking phone off the microphone.
Yeah, Christopher.
Again. This guy.
His cat, now his phone. It's gonna be his vibrator.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Not during the podcast, man. Come on. Or at least keep it quiet. You
know? Put it on the low setting.
Yeah, keep it on low setting. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I need that. I need the vibrations.
Chris is like, oh.
They caught me.
Oh, busted.
So what would you guys like to see as far as Elder Scrolls 6? This is something I want to talk about for a while, is like what we hope to see when it comes to the next Elder Scrolls.
That's a good question. I'd have to think about that for a second.
I have a couple I'd like to see brought back, stuff that has been taken away from the games and I'd like to see again.
Mm-hmm.
One is spell crafting. They removed that, and I'm really annoyed because I loved being able to make my own spells.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because, like, in Oblivion, I'd like run around and you'd get weighed down so quickly with stuff. And so I just made 10 variants of the same, like, you know, let me carry more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I could actually go through like a dungeon or two and just keep constant casting spells on myself and carry everything out.
Right.
Because I'm such a hoarder.
Right.
But there was a lot of really cool stuff that you could do with that, like spawn an entire set of armor. You could do like a huge buff, you know, buff your strength for a really long period of time, or buff your strength and health. Like, there were so many combinations of things you could do with spellcrafting. Mm-hmm. I would really love to see it make a return.
Interesting. I like that.
That you would know, be cool. Pretty much, I would say, just for this Elder Scrolls game, I want the game to look like Skyrim, but play like Oblivion, in the sense of they bring everything back. So... That's pretty much all I want, is just them to improve upon, have the beauty of Skyrim, but then also the playability of Oblivion.
Yeah, so totally.
What do you mean by playability of Oblivion? Do you mean like where like spells were like a third option, like you had your weapons and then the spell was an extra thing and not something you equipped? Like, what do you mean exactly when you say that?
Well, it's like there were. Skyrim was pretty much just like, go here and do this. Whereas Oblivion and Morrowind, even more so, you had to actually think, where it's like, okay, this quest, you know, you go up to this, you know, you got to find this like hidden ruin that you don't know about, but you have hints of it from the book, you know, like
like removing the markers that tell you exactly where everything is.
Well, not necessarily just removing it, but making it to where like the quests had more to them, whereas, you know, now it's like, it's just like, do this, that's it, you know. It's like, just go here and do it. It's like essentially like it lays it out completely for you, and is like a step-by-step process, where the quests in Oblivion and Morrowind, you actually had to put a little thought to it, you had to remember stuff like that.
That's a good point, Chris. I see where you're coming from, because I'm kind of on a similar boat, but a little bit on a different trail, where I kind of hope it plays similar to Oblivion in the way of, like, funny enough, it's a random little like thing that Skyrim had, was that everywhere you went was like perfectly lit up, like 100%, even the darkest of dark caves were like lit up perfectly, to the point where you didn't need to have like any sort of like light source, you know. And when I immediately played Oblivion for the first time, I picked up on the fact that it was actually kind of a good thing to have night vision, like, in that game. It was kind of goated, if I'm being honest with you. Like, it was like, I was glad that I had it. I was like, holy crap, like, this is sweet, like, it's huge, I could just like run through these dungeons like no problem. And if you didn't have it, it was like, you either had to have a torch, and even still, like, a torch gave you like only limited visibility. And I liked that, though, because it felt so much more immersive and real, like almost like a real dungeon. You know what I mean? Like a real dungeony, like the old, like a RPG, you know what I mean? And so
yeah.
I kind of am similar. Like, I kind of hope it plays a little bit more like that. Like, maybe it's a weird thing. It's like the lighting aspect of it. I kind of hope, like, maybe they tone down the lighting just a little bit, you know, and make it a little bit darker. Maybe have like caves where like it's pitch black dark. You know, if you don't have a torch, like you won't know where you're going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see stuff like that.
You know, I think that would be a really cool feature in the game. I'm thinking definitely too, maybe like more NPCs, like maybe smarter NPCs, and funny enough, bigger cities, I think, is ultimately what I'm looking for. Because
I was about to say the same thing as to see bigger cities, because the cities we have, it's like you'd be hard pressed to call them a city.
Yeah. For the most part. Right. Right. I remember back in like 2013, I was like fine with it. I was like, oh, it's a city, you know. But really, when you take a look at Whiterun and stuff like that, and Falkreath, and like Markarth, and like Solitude, and freaking even Winterhold is barely even a village. You know what I mean?
Right.
I will say this: I want, when it comes to like the cities, I want I want the smallest city to be at like the size of Cyrodiil in Oblivion. Like, I want that to be the smallest city.
Oh yeah! And, wow.
And you know what? It's like one thing they did do with, you know, Fallout that I like you said, I really hope they incorporate into the new Elder Scrolls is the smarter NPCs, how they would actually talk back to you. You know, you actually have a conversation, you know, with, and, you know, they could hopefully they improve on that system with Fallout 4. So,
yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, it's like the sacrifice, though, of having a big city. I hope it's not empty. That's the only thing, because like I feel like they can make a big city all they want to, but it wouldn't really be worth it to me if it was just empty. Like if there, you couldn't go through half the doors, if, you know, there were alleyways led to nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, I almost would be OK with it being smaller cities if it was just more jam packed with like good stuff, kind of like how Skyrim was. But again, like, we're moving into the next game and, you know, like, they've had a lot of time to work on this. I would hope that they would give it more the scale and the greatness that Oblivion had, have a little bit larger cities. And I don't think they necessarily felt all that empty. You know what I mean? At least Cyrodiil didn't, you know, and so. I'm hoping for that. Like, you're like, yeah, smarter NPCs and definitely grander, larger cities. I mean, I'm cool with like settlements too. You know, like if there were villages, like that's cool too, you know, but I definitely think like even just like one really big city, you know what I mean? Kind of like how Cyrodiil was. Like I don't think Skyrim really had that. Like, I mean, they had maybe the biggest, what was the biggest city in Skyrim? Like Riften, Solitude.
The big fancy one was the Imperial home base.
Up the bridge, like they had the bridge, like the stone bridge. Like, that was a good one, but it wasn't that huge. You know, it was kind of like two, like one little hallway. It was like a little, what do you call it? Like a three-way like lane, you know what I mean? Like, what do you call that? Like an intersection. Like, it was like a three-way intersection, basically. You know,
all of the big cities were all relatively around the same size, at least like the three big ones: Solitude, Whiterun, and
Markarth
was up there. It was the one all the way to the west, right?
Yeah, that's the one where the dwarven stuff we found.
Yeah, and Riften was like up there too a little bit, but not like ginormous or anything. Like, it was,
I think of Riften as being slightly smaller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
like a medium sized city, but
I will say this. I think that, you know, when I looked at Skyrim, I always thought there were like three different tiers in the cities. You know, there was Solitude, Markarth, and Whiterun. And then there was Riften, Whiterun.
Winterhold?
Yeah, Winterhold is what I would say. Then you had Riften and Whiterun, and then you had Falkreath, and then some of the other ones that were just like small as can be. But there were like three sizes. They're the largest ones, there were the medium ones, and then they're the ones that were like there was just nothing there.
Yeah, smaller ones, the smaller cities that were like the ones that were open, like Falkreath and I can't remember what one of those up north. It was like the ones that were open and didn't have walls and their own loading. Those were like what I consider to be the smaller ones.
Yeah. No,
wasn't Windhelm the
Stormcloaks?
Stormcloaks, yeah.
What's the one with the mages guild?
I think that was Winterhold.
I think that was Winterhold. And Windhelm was the stone one where it was the Stormcloaks. I'm looking at a map right now. Oh, and then we had like little villages like Dawnstar and obviously like Falkreath and let's see here, some other stuff too. But they were just basically villages as much as they were cities, you know what I mean?
Right.
So again, like, you know, it's like I'd say the biggest ones definitely were that were up there were Solitude, Markarth, Whiterun, Riften, Windhelm. Like those were all. Oh, Morthal. Everybody forgets about Morthal because it's basically like not there.
Morthal.
Yeah. Yeah. Morthal and Falkreath are kind of similar. And Dawnstar, but they're just like little villages. You know what I mean? They're not so much cities. So. Yeah, again, like I really am looking more so for those bigger, like how it is in Oblivion, you know, like the bigger deal cities, you know, like the big city. I think that would be cool.
In Oblivion, I don't think we're, aside from like the main Imperial capital, I don't think they were that much bigger.
I agree. It's just your like the main Imperial capital that was like the biggest one. But I would love to see that like in the newer games, like something big, like something, you know, solid, like even if it was just one city like that was just huge, like even on like a Solitude scale, like a Whiterun style, but just bigger, you know, like it's like I'd be okay with that, you know. And then you have a bunch of villages spread out, like I'd be okay with that, but just something a little bigger would be cool. But
I don't know, they've had so much to go, they've had so much time to work on it. I want, like I said, I want Cyrodiil to be like the smallest city they got. I want them to be big. I want them to learn from Fallout 76 and also what's the space game they just came out with?
Starfield.
Yeah, Starfield. I want them to learn from that, and you know, it's like, hey, people weren't happy. They, you know, it's a big game, but it's also like all the same thing and everything in a crystal.
Right.
Learn from it. You know, people don't want crap and they're not going to take
it. Right.
You know, so.
You know what they should bring back? Oblivion goofy faces, you know, the character creation.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Right? Give him like the biggest nose. Maybe put it all into nose, so it's literally just a giant nose walking around or something. You know, that Oblivion character creation is notoriously hilarious. Like it would be great. I mean, was it, you know, did it like, I mean, yeah, it was just funny. It was funny. Bring it back.
Indeed.
I would like to also see a more variety in quests, because I feel like the majority of quests you had in Skyrim were go to this cave and kill stuff. And that annoyed me, because it was like there were far more interesting quests in Oblivion and in Morrowind that wasn't just go to cave, kill stuff. You know, it was like trying to think of there was one in Oblivion where I had it on top of my head and now it's gone. I won't remember it now. Anyway, just stuff that's, like I said, not just going to caves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. There was a lot of like, a lot of fetch quests in Skyrim. There was also like quite a few. What's that?
My dream startup, huh?
Yeah, dude, why not
playing a game during the podcast? That's crazy.
You know it, dude. I'm wild like that. Well, it's one of those idle games, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those ones you could play and don't have to think about it. It's actually a great game. Oh, busted. Come on, we're not shying away from the fact that we play games during pods sometimes. It just be like that. We're gamers.
I've been playing 7 Days to Die this entire time, so it's all good.
Yeah. Exactly. So, like, what are you going to do? I actually freaking love this game recently, because it's literally, I won't go too deep into it, but it's one of those cozy games where, like, I think I explained it to you guys earlier. It's just basically, like, you set up, like, your dream, like, gaming setup, Or you can even just do like a bedroom setup if you really want to. But it literally is just gives you a bunch of items and you can like, you know, choose how big you want the room and color everything and put it in a specific spot. And you can make your own PC setup and like set it up how you want it with your desk and decorations. It's a cool little game. It's a cozy game, you know. It's like, oh, if I had the option, like this is what my room would look like, you know.
So, interesting.
One can dream. One can dream. I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. I wouldn't necessarily find myself playing a game like this, you know, years ago. But here we are. You know, this is what it's come to. You know. But yeah, yeah. But yeah. Anything else going on with the Elder Scrolls? You know, speculation or just what you want to see out of it, Kirk?
Those were kind of the like. There's way more. You know, obviously more space. You know, much bigger world. Like, if we could get, you know, Skyrim, Morrowind, you know, basically all of Tamriel into one game, that'd be incredible. Mm-hmm. But then again, the game would also probably be like 500 gigabytes. So maybe that's the best way to go.
We're fine with that. Hey, also, I just realized one, Kirk, that you could probably agree with. Smarter, like better interface whenever you're trying to decorate your house. Like, holy crap.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they made it so that when you pick up stuff in Skyrim, it, like, falls over. Like, the heavy side goes up or something. I don't know how it is, but, like, every time you try to place, like, a cup, it's always upside down. I'm like, why is the cup upside down?
You can't rotate nothing. You got to, like, swing it around and hope you get it to
be right. Level. That's right, dude. The struggle. The struggle of trying to get... Yeah.
Whenever you're trying to like place it, you like, God forbid, it clips and flings it across the room.
That's right.
And another nice feature would be to have like an in-house maid. Like, you could hire like a cleaning service. So if you like fusrouda in your house and everything goes crazy, you could hire someone and they'll like put everything back together for you.
Exactly. Like, once you're done decorating, you have the option of like, okay, is this how you want all the items to be in your house? You say yes. Save, and then if anything else gets like knocked over when you're running around or something, like you said, Fusrouda, the maid knows is like, obviously it's just the game that automatically does it, but it's a little bit of flavor text where it's like the maid goes in, cleans it up and stuff like that.
Yeah, you gotta hire like a cleaner for like 100 coins or something.
You can hire the lusty Argonian maid, and then you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Rental properties also. Like, you end up with so many houses. Why can't I rent out these and make some extra coin on the side?
That's true. Hey, become an entrepreneur. Airbnb.
Exactly.
The lusty Argonian maid cleans your house and cleans your sword. So...
So we want to see sex in the next Skyrim.
Hey, there are so many mods that involve that. You can do it right now, buddy.
You're like, yeah, we don't have to wait for that one. That's funny.
That's already there.
It's funny for people who don't know what we're talking about. There's just a book in Skyrim, and it's known to be a little bit more spicy. You know, it's like the most spicy. It's not really even. It's not bad. Like, there's nothing really in it, but it's like in. Plying that there's like this lusty Argonian maid, and it's like, I would say it's probably like the comparison of like 50 Shades of Grey, but like in Skyrim, you know.
50 Shades of Grey actually had nudity, I thought, though, didn't it?
We're talking about the book, not the movie.
It's just like the idea of like, you know, like what it represents, you know, what the book represents. There's nothing in the book really. It just, you know, like, you know, just, you know, but that's basically the idea. So there's just this lusty Argonian maid, but Skyrim fans will know what you're talking about. I'm surprised you didn't know that, Kirk. I'm surprised you didn't know.
Didn't know about the lusty Argonian maid?
Yeah, what a shame. Did you not read books or something when you were playing Skyrim?
I know about it. When did I say I didn't know
about it? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you implied you didn't know about it. No. This guy wait, so you do know about it? Weird. You're so weird.
Yeah, says the guy who just explained it in detail.
Yeah, I'm just the explainer, you know. Like, I'm just
Googling. He had to Google it so that way.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, man.
South Park is releasing a new game. It's coming out tomorrow.
Really? Oh, yeah. Is it the sequel to The Fractured Butthole?
South Park Snow Day.
I think there's like three or four of them out at this point with the Snow Day one.
I think this is the third one.
Yeah, Fractured Butthole, I'm pretty sure it was the second one, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What do you know?
They're pretty crazy.
Very cool. I never actually got super into South Park as a show, personally. I was always more of a Family Guy kind of person.
South Park is really funny, and they've got some great episodes. It is, but some of the episodes also are just like, oh my god, how is that on TV?
How did that one slide? Yeah.
There's some pretty bad ones. I like it a lot more than Family Guy, personally. I will say King of the Hill is my favorite still, but, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, that's so funny. I can never do King of the Hill. I don't know why. It was just so, like,
tiring. Very dry humor.
Yeah, you're right. It's very dry. Very dry. I think that was the issue for me. I was just like, oh, like.
It's so like, you know, one of my favorite lines of all time, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, was it's like, you know, when Hank is teaching Bobby how to cook a steak, he's like, so he's like, firm but little give. That's how you get a perfect medium rare steak. Like, but dad, what if someone wants their steak cooked well done? He goes, well, son, then that's when we firmly but politely but firmly ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, that's amazing right there.
Yeah. I've seen that before too, like on online and stuff like that. It's a pretty good one. But it's true. I mean, my dad, funny enough, I mean, no rag on my dad or anything like that, but he always ordered his steaks well done, like always. And as a kid, I'd always get steaks well done.
Doesn't deserve to have a steak.
I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So I was like, one day I was like, okay, like I'm an adult. Well, I wasn't really an adult. I was like, you know, 15 or something like that. And I was like, okay, you know, screw it. I'm going to get something other than well done, you know. I'm gonna see what the world has to offer, you know. I'm gonna open my eyes. I'm gonna be like, what's going on, you know? So I ordered like a medium or something, and I had a really hard time getting it down because I was so used to well done. I was like, they forgot to cook this.
Did your dad also put ketchup on his
steak? No, he didn't go that far, but he was an A1 man. Like, he liked his steak sauce, you know. So
that's kind of just as bad.
I, you know what, in steak culture, I definitely agree. You know, I mean, I like A1 sauce, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I put it on steak anymore, just because, like, I think, like, if you have a really good steak, you don't necessarily need it, you know.
I'm like, if you go to, like, I mean, like, there are some places, you know, they will legitimately kick you out if you try to put like A1 or ketchup on a steak.
I like,
especially in Texas, like, I've seen people just get kicked out of restaurants because of that crap.
I don't doubt that for a second. Yeah, it's a big deal. And people take steaks really seriously. So,
yeah.
And some people take barbecue real seriously.
Like, what kind of barbecue are you saying? Because, like, I feel like steak kind of falls into barbecue. Maybe that's more like grill, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, steaks aren't barbecue.
What is barbecue?
Like Texan barbecue is what I'm thinking of.
I got you.
Yeah, Texan and Kansas City barbecue. I know there's a big feud in between KC barbecue and Texas barbecue. Texas barbecue is far better. I don't care what you have to say. KC.
What's the difference? Wait. What's the difference?
So Texas barbecue is typically going to be a lot more beef, whereas KC is going to be typically more pork. KC is going to have a lot sweeter. They focus on the sauce mainly, whereas Texas barbecue is a lot more savory, and they focus on the seasoning, like the bark on the outside.
Yeah, they do a lot of rubs.
Interesting.
There's a, I think it's Austin, Texas. It's like the barbecue capital of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are the three like big names down there.
It's and like I Frank, heard Franklin's, Micklewaite's, and
Black's.
There's another one. Blacks.
Yeah. So I heard a story about Blacks, actually. I think it was Blacks. I might get getting this wrong, but
yeah, I think
someone was eating barbecue there, and they don't give you barbecue sauce. The barbecue's the way they serve it to you is the way you eat it, right? And a lady came up and was like, "Hey, can I get some barbecue sauce?" And one of the people she asked, they were like, "Do you need barbecue sauce?" And she was like, "Yeah." They're like, "Maybe you should go eat somewhere else."
Wasted. Yeah. But no, like, I'm, Buddy should have known. He should have known, right?
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. But I mean, hey, it's like, you know, I get it. I mean, if again, if like, you know, the steak, if you got, you know, like a really nice ribeye and everything, and then someone just puts a ketchup on it or A1 sauce, it's like, are you freaking for real? It's like, I just, this really high dollar cut of meat, you're just ruining. Like my mother, pissed me off. Like we've talked about my mother and her weird eating, like habits and stuff like that. And the thing that pissed me off the most is she would get a filet, right? Which is the most tender cut of meat, you know, steak you can get. She'd get a filet, have it well done.
Who would do this?
My mother.
Oh, okay.
She'd get a filet, have it well done, and then eat it with ketchup. And I'm just like, you just butchered that steak. Like that's horrible that you just did that.
That is wild. The ketchup is so strong. Like you put that on anything, I feel like it's just going to overpower. You know what I mean? Like kind of like whatever you.
Why even get a filet? It's like, why get a steak?
Yeah.
Just, if you wanted that, just get a burger.
Well, that's the thing. Like people, like steak is meant for, I think in typical steak culture, I think like people who eat steak pretty heavily, like you're eating it for the flavor of the meat. You're eating it for the flavor of the spices that are soaked into it. You know, you're like, you're really eating it for the flavor of that meat. But when you add like the sauce, it's like you're eating sauce. So you're just eating like, you know, meat with sauce. And it takes away from the specialness of, you know, the food. So again, like, if you want to like eat like a bunch of like ketchup, like it's like, you probably would want to just go eat a burger, but then people just don't know, you know, they order a steak thinking like, it's just another, like, oh, it's another piece of meat, like beef or chicken, whatever. And they just put whatever sauces they want on it, and they don't realize the actions, you know, the repercussions of their actions.
Well, I don't, like, here's my thing is, like, I never hold it against people for ordering steaks. You know, if you want it well done with ketchup, hey, if that's the way you like it, that's the way you like it. We all got different taste buds. We all enjoy what we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate, I'll admit, I've been one of those where it's like, if you don't order it well done, or if you don't order it, like, medium rare, you're ruining the steak, right? But it's like, it's pretty pompous of me to assume that kind of thing.
Wow.
Right? Like,
Kirk coming down saying he's not going to be pompous?
Look, what? Yeah, I mean, look, Donald Trump, one of the richest men, he orders his steaks well done with ketchup. And it's like, look, if that's
Excuse
what he likes,
me?
It's what he likes. Yeah.
He does?
He does, man.
That's wild.
And it's one of those things where it's like, it, you know, that's what you grew, if that's what you grew up with, if that's what you enjoy, you got nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. What I do have a problem with is when you find someone who wants to put ketchup on sushi. That I have an issue with.
Yeah.
Now like we're that just, person, that's crazy.
That person.
Serial killer.
That person needs to be put away. So.
Yes. That is serial killer behavior right there. We need to eradicate and or condemn them somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm
that's
sorry.
That's when you know you have a problem.
Yes. Yes, of course.
That's when you know you need new friends.
Yeah. Guys, I'm scared. I'm afraid to admit it, but I enjoy my steak medium well. But I don't
medium well. Is fine.
Medium
I don't
well,
care
dude.
About medium. Yeah. I don't care about. I'm like, well, medium well. That's tough for me. I like medium rare. But I just I don't know. I
think it's because of the way it's the way my dad grew up, though. Like, I ate meats and they were fully cooked, right? And that's how I always expected them. So now if I eat meat that is, you know, like a little bit squishy, like has that redness in it, it throws me off. I'm like, oh, like it, for some reason, it just doesn't. But like a good medium well still has some pink in the middle, but it's like still like a firmness to the pink, like a little bit. Like it's not like so squishy and it's also not overcooked where it's dried out completely yet. So I feel like medium well is like that like middle ground for me where like it's like perfect. I think I'll sometimes dabble in the medium, you know. But still, like, there's a little part of me, like, internally that's dying inside, like, when I eat it.
Look, I get it. It's just, you know, and I get what you're saying, Kirk, on, like, it's, you know, who are we to say how to eat a steak? But I'm just like, at the same time, it's like, you're just ruining such a, like, if you want, like, a cheap cut of steak or something like that, I, you know, more power to you. But if you're getting, like, the most expensive cut of steak, and then you're just, slathering it in ketchup and having it dry as a bone. It's like you just ruined that expensive cut of meat. Mm-hmm. It's like you could have literally had the exact same thing with like a cheaper cut. Why sure. did you have to do? Why did you have
also,
to do?
Also, knowing your mother, she probably only took a bite or two of it and then said she was done. So she yeah. doesn't need to be doing that anyway.
No, my mother's something else.
She's off her rocker, bro.
Yeah. Did we tell you that story that when she made queso? The queso
one? Yeah, we told that one on the podcast. Okay.
What did she make?
When she the made queso?
Queso. I wasn't
sure we told that story on the podcast or not.
Did you tell us story about?
We have. I just don't know if Alec was here for it.
Really?
Okay. I'll tell you real fast. It's a short story. It was just me and you know those they got those big bricks of Velveeta you can buy at the store?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So she took one of those big old bricks, she got a big pot out and started making queso. And Christopher was like, hey, can me and Kirk have some of that? She's like, No, this is for me. And we looked at each other, we're like, really? She's gonna eat an entire brick of queso?
Like that's a Velveeta.
So dumb. Yeah. And so we're like, all right, whatever. I guess we don't get any. This woman proceeds to grab the bag of chips out from the cabinet, set it down, take one chip, dip it in the queso, eat it, go, I'm done. Y'all can have the rest. And we're like,
what? Yeah, it was. Yeah, she God, I don't think it was just one chip, but it was essentially one chip.
What? That's hilarious. I thought you were going to say she actually did eat it all, in which case that would have been incredibly impressive and also very concerning. But like the fact that she ate so little when she deliberately said that you couldn't have any, that's kind of funny.
Right.
That's kind of funny, though, low key. I love queso, though, honestly. Like, God, dude, it's so good.
Dude, one of my, I'm going to be honest, I feel like the biggest fat ass in the world when I say this, but like one of my favorite like little cheat meals, what I'll do, like are not cheat meals, but like meals that I feel awful about after eating, because it's so good, is I'll get like, first of all, the Mexican food up here is horrible. I miss Texas so much for Mexican food. I really do. The Mexican food is just god awful. Mm-hmm. But there is a place not too far away from here that has some decent queso.
Christopher, get your phone away from the mic.
Sorry.
This guy.
I'm sorry.
Anyway. Turn off your vibrator.
There's a place around here that has some decent queso. And what I'll do every once in a while is I'll go and get like a large thing of queso and then I'll get some fried chicken and just eat queso and fried chicken.
Oh my God. So no, good. But dude, low key though, like I want to make fun of you for that, but like I can't because like I do something similar. I mean, I don't go as far as the fried chicken part, but literally there's a place near here that makes fantastic queso. It's a new Mexican place and it has like a little chori, like a little bit of Mexican sausage in it and stuff. And like on my cheat meals, you know, cheat day, whatever, I don't cheat meal any. I just, whenever I feel like it, I'll go get some of that queso with some of their salsa. And that's what I'll have for dinner. It's just like their chips and queso and salsa. Like I'll have that for dinner, bro. It's awesome. I don't look back, but like doing it with fried chicken, that is a step up, man. Like, yeah. That's up there.
It's so good. Like I've been trying to like, I'll go to different places to be like, okay, which chicken tastes the best with this queso?
Oh, no so way.
Far, yeah. So far, I'm on Culver's chicken strips. Yeah. I don't know if you know Culver's up there.
Yes, we do.
So I've never even heard of the place until I came here to Missouri. Yeah, Culver's chicken strips. And then I'll, because I was doing KFC chicken before. Culver's chicken strips, and then I'll just dip it in the queso, and it's so good.
That's awesome, dude. I feel
so like lethargic and bloated afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because
I'm eating several ounces of queso of just liquid cheese.
Yeah, but dude.
It's so good.
Do you get like that lump? Do you get that like lump in your throat like the night of or like the next day? Because you're just like loaded down with queso and you're like, oh. Your body is more cheese than it is human.
Dude, it's for real though, but it's so good.
I totally get you, bro. Like I'd low key do the same thing. Like my wife makes fun of me all the time because like I eat way too much cheese queso whenever I get the chance. And so, like, we'll go out to a restaurant and I'll, like, make the joke, like, can I get extra queso on that? And you're like, you literally ordered queso. Like, what do you mean you want extra?
Like, well, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, I'll have, you know, like, we'll have a bowl of queso and then, like, we'll obviously eat that with the chips and that's all gone by the time the meal gets there.
Right.
And then afterwards, I'm just like, hey, whatever my meal is, like, you know, let's say it's like a chimichanga or something, I'll be like, can I get a side of queso so I can
pour
that over the chimichanga?
Yeah, dude, exactly. Like, it's so good. I'll do that with, like, grilled chicken. I'll get, like, grilled chicken at the place. I'll dip it in the queso, and they look at you like you're crazy.
Like with the fajitas?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Dude, it's so good. It really, or quesadillas or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. But God, like, you feel lethargic.
I feel fat just listening to you guys.
Yeah, dude. You should. You should, because, God, it can't be good for you. But, man, it feels good, you know? Well, not really, but, you know.
In the moment when you're doing it, it feels good.
That's our toxic trait.
It tastes so good.
It is, though, dude. It is. I imagine, like, I almost feel like spicy chicken nuggets would be really good, like in like a queso, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or like a chicken strip. You know what? You want to hear something kind of you guys want to hear something definitely controversial? When it comes to the chicken world, I can't do boneless chicken. Or I'm sorry, I can't do bone-in chicken. Sorry, I was completely playing the wrong side there. Okay, so the ones with bones in them, I can't do them. I don't enjoy them.
When it comes
them.
To wings, or
yes. When it comes to when it comes
all.
To wings, when it comes to chicken at all, like when it comes to chicken, if it has bones in it, I'm out. Like, I can't do it.
So, like, you won't go to KFC and order like the bucket of chicken.
No,
right?
Absolutely not.
Bones in it?
Absolutely not.
I disagree. I can do it. I love bone in chicken, but I get it. I thought that was weird at first, but I've actually met like several people over the years that do not like eating chicken off the bone.
Yeah.
Like they do not like, and I get it. So
thank you. At least
what is that? Like, is the bone like make you like sick or?
Well, no, it's a preference.
It's like something that's like internal. It's like it bugs them eating something off of a bone. Like,
well, you know what? I don't know if I don't know if I would say it's that far for me.
Not eat steaks off the bone?
Well, no.
Well, it's like the same thing. Well, it's the same thing with Alec and eating like a steak that's cooked a little bit too little. It's like, it's probably the same thing for you, I imagine.
You know what it is? It's just, it's a matter of the fact that it's better to me, like eating boneless than it is bone in. Because like, it's so much less work to like have to work around like the bones and stuff like that and getting a bone in your teeth or whatever. But also every single freaking time, like I eat bone in chicken, there's random little nubs of like cartilage or something weird that like always gets, you always bite into. And it's like, what the heck was that? Like,
I know people who eat that cartilage because.
Shut up.
Yeah,
like, get
yeah.
out
so,
of here.
So really here's good the thing. Here's the thing. My aunt, I'm not going to say her name right now, but my aunt, she grew up in a family. She was the youngest of 13 children.
Oh my
and
God.
When they would get chicken, she would almost always get like the chicken feet.
Right.
Like she got like nothing. And all of their family, when you would, you know, you get that bits of cartilage, like if you got like a chicken wing and we always leave like a little bit at the ends. There was none of that. Only ever bone was left over because that was all they had. And so they would eat every last bit of it. I know multiple people that do this.
Mm-hmm,
where
yeah.
like, when you grow up poor, you know, you eat everything you can.
I've heard of that too. Yeah.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I will say this real quick. Going back, it's super good for you. Like cartilage. As probably as unappealing as it is to eat, like you get chicken feet, right? And you boil it down until like all the collagen and the just everything is into it. Essentially, it's like a gravy, but as soon as you know it cools, it turns into like you know a jello because of all that stuff that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is like some of the best stuff for you if you've got like joint damage or back, you know, pain and stuff like that. Like, it's really, really good for you. If you just boil down some chicken feet, take, you know, after a couple hours, take all, you know, the feet out, but then you got that whole thing of collagen, which is essentially just like a bowl of broth at that point.
It's like bone broth, but
yeah, it's like bone broth. You just drink it. It's legitimately like one of the best things you could
have. It's also really good for soups.
Soups, flavor, skin, like the skin like you have, like it helps your skin.
Okay, yeah. So you see, I get that, but like at the same time, it's like this is chicken. Like my chicken, we're talking about. It's like I don't want cartilage in my chicken. You know what I mean? Like I'm not eating chicken to be healthy. You know?
I get it. No, well, I mean, it's definitely it's unhealthy and cholesterol wise, but yeah. I get it completely. And why you know you don't like it? And at first, I thought it was weird, but you're probably like the fourth person I've known growing up now that's like the same thing.
Yeah, so. That's funny. Okay, well, I thought you guys would give me way more like harshness on that, like make fun of me way more
it
than that.
Sounded like Kirk was about to.
Let it rip.
I'll go easy on you today.
No, it's okay. I'm gonna make you go hard on me. I'm gonna make you go hard, so hard on me.
I don't like the way you phrase that.
I'm gonna go crazy. I'm going crazy, man. Bone chicken is the worst chicken. It doesn't even taste good. The flavor is sullied by the bones and the cartilage. And I think everybody's just convincing themselves that it's good, and it's really not. You know, I just think
you were because the bones. See, the bone actually does flavor the chicken better. Like, it gives it more flavor. So, I mean,
I'm sure it does.
You don't want chicken with fat. Like, you don't like the thighs because they're too fat.
I don't like the thighs. Like, you know what else? When you get me bacon, like, people are like, oh, yeah, give me the fatty piece. No, I don't want the fatty piece. I want the leaner cut. I don't want the fat. The fat grosses me out, dude. And I get it. Like, it dissolves in your mouth, whatever. It has, like, good flavor, whatever, okay? But, like, I'm eating fat. Like, I can't get that through my head. Hey, like,
hold on. Real quick, Alec. I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everybody who has that. Like, I get it. It's in your head. You can't help it. It's just in your head. But at the same time, you're literally eating the flesh of a dead animal.
Right.
You are literally, imagine just taking an animal and cutting it off with a butcher's knife.
Right.
You know, that's what you're doing. There's so fat or meat, it's pretty much the same thing.
Well,
so, I will say this as an ex-butcher, it annoys me when people don't eat everything.
You know why?
How much work it is to be fair, though, you had to be a butcher and to like have to do all that and trim stuff and everything, and then you go and throw half of it away. You,
dude, I don't care. It's gross. It's really gross, dude.
So,
it's
what,
like,
what kind of cut of steak do you get? Do you not get like ribeyes because there's too much fat, or like
what? Probably not. No, I usually will just get like 6 ounce sirloins, 8 ounce sirloins, or something like that. Those are usually my go-to.
Sirloins are good.
Yeah, sirloin is good, but again, like, you're right, though. Like, whenever there's like steak and there's fat pieces on it, I will go around those and I'll cut them off. I'll cut them off and I won't eat them because it's chewy. It just weirds me out. I know it's strange. It's definitely like a mental thing. Like, there's a mental block there, but like, I can get through the fact that like I'm eating the flesh and like the actual meat, the lean meat of it. But for some reason, when I get to the fat, it's like, excuse me? Like, I feel like I'm not supposed to be eating this.
It's a texture thing.
It's like, a different texture. Yeah.
It's like it is a very weird texture that for me it took a while to get used to. I will say that.
Yeah.
But once you get used to that weird kind of almost like a jello, like a more hearty jello texture.
Mm-hmm. But like, it's so weird.
To me it's like a firm butter. That's how it is to me. But I will say this, I get it in the sense of like, there are some things you just won't ever get over. Like for me, I think I may have mentioned this before. I know I've told y'all about it, but I don't know if I've said it on podcast. I can't do certain textures as well. I know this isn't necessarily a texture thing for you. It's texture, mental, all that good stuff. But for me, it's like oatmeal or overcooked noodles. Or bananas, anything that's mucousy and slimy, like flan,
Yeah.
You don't like flan?
I can't. No, it's no. I love the flavor. The flavor is amazing, but I can't control this. It pisses me off, and it's the same way. About two bites in, I'm going to be violently throwing it up.
Whoa.
Legitimately, I didn't realize. So Japanese pudding is very, very similar to flan, and we were at this fancy Japanese restaurant, and I took two bites into the pudding, and my buddy was like, you know, Chris, I'm kind of surprised you can eat, because he knows I have that texture. And he's like, I'm surprised you can even keep this down with how it's textured. But mid-sentence, as he's saying that, I'm I'm at the bar, like, desperately trying not to throw up everything I just ate.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
And it hits me so violently that it actually hurts. Like, that retching, oof, like, normal retching when you get sick doesn't necessarily hurt. It hurts whenever I'm retching from eating something like this texture-wise. And yeah. It's annoying that that's the case, but I mean, it's something I've had ever since I was younger. Like it was even worse to where I used to not be able to eat yogurt of all things.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was the texture of it?
Yeah. And now I can do yogurt, but that's as far as it is. Like even, like I said, overcooked if noodles are too overcooked, or if, like I said, oatmeal, two bites, a bite into oatmeal, if it's cooked, I'm throwing up, and it's coming up fast.
Oh my God. What? But why? Like,
it's purely just a mental thing. I don't know what it is.
Really? Like, interesting.
It's the same thing with how some people like can't swallow pills or different things. Like, I'll give you a weird one I have. I can't drink lemon water.
Really?
Yeah. So my dad used to give me this stuff. It was like a food grade bleach, and it's supposed to like clear out your like system. And if you when you take it, it really clears your system out. You basically sit on the toilet all day, so make sure you don't have any plans.
Yeah. But
it tasted like lemon water and death. So now when I drink lemon water, that memory of that comes back, and I just start vomiting.
Hold on.
So bad.
I think I know what you're talking about. Let me ask you. I may have had to do the same thing. Let me ask something. Does it when it's like a powder, right? You put in your water.
It's a liquid.
Maybe liquid. Okay. Okay. Well, maybe it's a different thing. I was gonna say, because I remember one time I had to be cleared out for a surgery, and they gave me this powder that I put in like a giant thing of water. And it made it was like salty lemonade. That's what it tasted like, but not, you know how salt water is like super thick. Like it changes the texture almost of it. Like that's how it was. And I couldn't get through it. But
yeah, no, that's not this. This is it's liquid. It's a food grade bleach.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about that. Yeah. You also said back in the day, you said food grade hydrogen peroxide.
That's a different thing entirely.
Okay.
That's what this is.
Okay. Okay.
That makes sense though, kind of, because like when you get food poisoning, like off of food, you kind of like, you know, can't necessarily go back to that food for a little while. Like, so I do kind of get that, but like, this is something that kind of like lasted, seems like a lifetime, you know, like, or at least a long time. I mean, I one time got food poisoning off of like spinach artichoke dip from Applebee's, and Lord help me, you don't see me not stopping eating that stuff when I go to Applebee's. Like, I still get it, but it took me a second, but
yeah. For me though, it's legit. Nothing, I don't think, has ever caused me to not like it. Like the texture is just, I've always had it for as long as I had. I don't have, as far as I know, I don't have anything traumatic with it.
Right.
But it's so weird to me. I really hate it. And
those are both really interesting though. Like, I feel like I feel like your guys' are more like obscure though. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like I've known it. I've known people that have that exact same issue as you. So, I mean, I get it.
Right.
You've said you've met four people that are like that. I don't think I've met anyone. I've met the total opposite, people who don't like boneless chicken.
Yeah,
the idea of it being processed like freaks him out.
Really? Really? Yeah. That's so funny. That's interesting. Well, you know, because people
I can understand chicken nuggets, but because that is like super processed, but just boneless chicken when it's
what
like
about tenders? Yeah, what about tenders? Because like you order chicken breast, you know what I mean, and you can cut that up and slice it into tenders, you know what I mean? And that does the job too. Like that's fine. But for some reason, like, I don't know, like getting a bucket of chicken from like KFC just doesn't work well, doesn't do well for me. And it's not even the idea that it's like, oh yeah, this was like the bone of the it's like literally just like the ease. Like maybe I'm just too lazy. Like maybe I just want to eat my food and just quickly and be done with it.
I know the food for you now. I'm going to look this up. I'm going to show this to you here in a second.
What is this? Some sort of grinded up chicken or something?
Oh, you'll see. Like, don't keep talking while I find this.
I don't even want to chew my food. You know, I just want it to be inserted into my body. You know,
hold on. Is it really not like a mental issue that you have?
No. I just want like if I could inject queso like into my body, like you know, veins wise, I'd just do that, you know, because like it's so good. I just want it inside of me.
Never mind then, because I've never known someone that. Well, no, I guess you're the second person. Joseph, a buddy of mine, he can't really taste anything because his mouth is not his mouth. His nose is like stuffed up 24/7. So
oh, really?
Yeah. So he just, since he can't taste the difference, and it's cheaper, he just, anytime he like gets wings, he just always gets boneless because it's cheaper, more meat, but then it's also less work.
It's less work. It is. It's like such a hassle to go through those bones, man. And again, like the cartilage and stuff and the random bits, it's like, man, like I sometimes sit back and wonder, like, how do, like, are people just like convincing themselves that they like this stuff? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I get it. Like, I do get it. I will indulge in wings every once in a while, like bone-in wings, you know, typical, like, you know, B-dubs style, you know, just traditional drumsticks and wings, you know, I'll do those. But like the big, like straight up, if it's like the big chunks of like chicken that you get like KFC in like a bucket or something like that, or that people have, like, I won't even bother. Like, I won't even eat it. I won't even try. I'm like, this is not worth it. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just as easy, but I will say, I get what you're saying on the whole cartilage thing, because I'm not a big fan of like the something that I don't really care for either is like the veins and the crap like that you get from bone in chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. The veins that are in it are like on the cartilage. And, right. Like you said.
But then again, I get where people come from where they say like boneless isn't technically wings. Like they're just like, it's chicken nuggets. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. Like, fair enough. Yeah. It's not that deep, you know. Like, I don't care. Like, it's like I'm not gonna sit here and defend myself. Be like, they're technically wings. It's like, come on. Like, I don't care that much. Like, it's fine, you know. You go on chicken nuggets all you want. They're freaking good, man. And I'll eat them any day over the wings. So, did you find that yet, Kirk?
I'm looking for it. So, there was a show back in the day. I can't find the actual like thing. But it was called Blue Collar TV. And it was with Jeff Foxworthy, Larry the Cable Guy, and Bill Engvall.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do skits, like, you know. And one of them was called, like, Jim Bob's House of Gravy. And it was just a really funny thing. But, like, one of the episodes was like, Jim Bob's House of Gravy introduces pre-chewed food. And it was like, he's like, our workers' jaw have really strong jaws. And it shows people like stuffing their face with like blueberries, chewing it up, and then spitting it back out into like a jar.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And it was like, here you go, your pre-chewed blueberries. Or
if somebody
or
could do that
dinner.
Yes, if somebody could do that with bone chicken, I would eat it. Like, if they could pull out the cartilage and the bones and stuff and just, like, have the good stuff, like, right there, by all means, like, I'll eat that. Like, no problem. No problem whatsoever. But it's, like, all the other stuff. It's, like, I don't want to have to work for it. I'm so lazy. I'm so freaking privileged, like, American. Like, we, like, you know, we're literally hunting our food, and we would have been blessed to have, you know, a decent drumstick, you know what I mean, or something like that. But, like, nowadays, we're just so, like, it's got fat on it. Like,
I mean, that's you.
I see it. I know. I get it. I completely...
As someone who's been hunting, I don't do that, man.
Yeah. No, that's me. And I totally see it. I see the humor in it, you know, I understand that it's funny and it's a little stupid, but you know, what can I do? You know, I know there's people out there that will back me up on this for sure. So, but
I don't know about that.
No, there's people out there. There's people out there. There's gotta be some, right? Come on.
Maybe.
No, there definitely is. Please. There has to be.
Someone help me out, please.
Please, somebody. Oh, man. No. But, all right. Well, are you guys, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about, or do you want to get up, start playing this Halo? Yes, that's right, listeners. We do game together and we do play Halo.
We should. That might be a good episode for next week is what were your thoughts on playing the Halo campaigns for the first time?
Might not be bad. Wasn't your first episode with us the Halo episode?
Yeah, I think so. It was. And I think I listened to that back over and I was like, I'm pretty sure I got a few of those things I said wrong.
Well, we're not gonna talk about that. Please, if you went
it
back,
it bugs me that I got some stuff wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, if you went back and fact checked like the stuff that we've talked about on this podcast, Lord, I don't even want to know like how many things we totally got wrong.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we get stuff wrong all the time.
You listen to this podcast, just don't expect this to be 100% ever. Like, do not expect this ever to be. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we're all set then. If you guys don't have anything else you want to talk about, then we can finish out this podcast for tonight and get on gaming, boys.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Sweet.
Hey. It's at the end of the day, just a bunch of games to have underneath your belt.
Thank you so much, Chris. Cool.
You're welcome.
is... I think I'm going to change your catchphrase a little bit to thanks for tuning in to one more game with us or something, you know, or thanks for playing one more game with us. Just so it makes sense, you know. Sometimes.
Look, you can try to change the catchphrase, but I may have to change your face.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Whatever. You're going to be too busy pulling bones out of your chicken. You won't be able to. You won't be able to catch me. I already have eaten mine and been off the scene.
Maybe.
But it's okay. We can share a bucket of queso together one day. I'll have my boneless chicken. You'll have your bone-in chicken. And we won't care because we're bonded.
Like I said, the chicken strips from Culver's, I think, are better than the KFC one. So when it comes to dipping in the queso.
Yeah. You see, everybody's bonded by queso. You know, it's the coagulation. It's the glue. You know what I mean? That holds everybody together. Bonds everything. You know?
I agree. So
yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, he's you know, somebody gets it. Thank you.
Don't you worry about it, baby girl.
All right. Well, cool. Let's get going, boys. And to the listeners listening to this episode of One More Game, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. If you guys like this episode or any of the preceding last episodes, don't forget to go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. It really helps out the podcast. It really helps support us, pushes us forward. And again, we just love seeing your guys' support and hearing your feedback. So if you have any feedback, of course, go check out our X page that is directed by Kirk. We'll do our best to get back at you and hopefully have some of the stuff that you guys throw at us on the podcast. But yeah, again, thank you guys so much for listening tonight, and we will see you guys in the next one.